Aloha, Tiki Files. Thanks for joining me for another episode of Marooned, a Texas Tiki podcast. Whether you're a longtime listener or this is your first time tuning in, welcome. And now that you're here, the time has come. Hookah is right around the corner, so I'd say now's a good time to release the long-awaited Maikai episode. This episode has long been in the can, but I was just never really satisfied with the audio quality. It's gone through a number of edits and editors, and, well, we got what we got. But don't let that sway you, because this episode has a lot of great content in it. I recorded this episode last summer with Maikai Tiki carver Will Anders, Maikai manager Kern Matai, and friend of the podcast, and the head of the Atomic Grog, Jim Hurricane Hayward. I want to take a moment to thank them for taking time out of their day to talk with me and give us all an audio history tour of the Maikai. And a huge thanks to everyone at the Maikai for their incredible hospitality. I had a great time chatting with Will, Kern, and Jim because they were a wealth of knowledge and history of the Maikai. I really can't stress this enough, it truly was an amazing experience from the beginning to the end of our trip. Now, I know there have been a number of podcasts about the Maikai, but I can pretty confidently say this is the first one recorded on the grounds of the Maikai. I also want to give a special thanks to Hurricane Hayward for helping me get this episode set up. Without him, this episode probably wouldn't have happened. If you're not familiar with Jim and his blog, The Atomic Grog, definitely check out episode 16. There's a ton of great information about the cocktails of the Maikai and exactly what he does with the blog and his relationship with the folks there at the Maikai. It's a really good episode. Also done on the grounds of the Maikai. So there we go. We've got two podcasts done at the Maikai within the Maikai. I feel like we're doing pretty good here. Anyways, at long last, it's here. I really hope you all enjoyed the episode because it was a ton of fun to record and learn so much about the art, decor, and maintenance of keeping the Maikai beautiful. For those of y'all attending Hukilau, I hope you'll take us along with you. And even if you're not, well, you can still whip up any of the amazing tribute cocktails from the Atomic Grog. That way, all you'll have to do is sit back, relax, and enjoy. Episode 19 of Maroon, a Texas Tiki podcast.
Outside the Maikai, as you pull up and enter, you'll get dropped off, or you'll pull up and valet your car, and you'll look to the left, you'll see the front doors, but you want to make sure you turn around and look the opposite direction, to the right, to the south end of the Maikai. There's three new tikis that have been installed 2 years now, two and a half. And Will's going to tell you a little bit about them, because he's the artist behind one of them.
Well, I did one, my buddy Tom Founder did one, and Jeff did the other one in Tampa.
Well, let's get a closer look so you can go into more details here. The one on the left is Jeff's, and that's
the one on the right here is Jeff.
Oh, the right's Jeff, yeah. Left is you.
And that's Tom, the Kangaroa, and I did the Lono at Cypress. And that's Kangaroa is pine. The Marcasian that Jeff did is also Cypress. They're good wood, they last forever. They've been repainted by the house painter, and they look pretty good right now.
Yeah, they look great. Now, before these were here, there were some very, very old what were they?
They were fern.
They were fern tikis that were kind of famous, because they're in pictures. They're probably in Swanky's book, but they were just in such a...
They were from back in the day, and they had disintegrated right. In time, and all they were fern blobs, quite frankly.
Right.
So we took those down, and we cleaned up these, and I put a new base in, and I mounted these myself. I used to just drop stuff off, but now when I make something for here, I come in and I mount it myself too. That way I know it goes the way I had thought about it and intended it. I make stuff with a purpose for a place, or a place and a purpose.
So yours is a Hawaiian?
Mine's Hawaiian, which, you know, Bob Thornton was not a Hawaiian guy. He didn't really go that far north. He was more in the southern Pacific. So I kind of feel like it's a little out of place, but it's more of a Hawaiian Lono. This one's from Cook Island.
And that's also based on something Kangaroa. Else. Isn't it the decanter that
well,
the Maikai
used to have? Well, that is their Maikai decanter. Yeah. I gave Tom a picture of it and asked him to do that. And a Marcasian is also, there's a lot of Marcasian work here that was brought back here, I guess, from the real deal stuff from the islands.
And Jeff and Tom, of course, are Florida artists as well. So this is a great example of mm-hmm. Florida modern tiki artwork.
Absolutely. Yeah. We're all local guys, and we're happy to be a part of the team and donate stuff like this. And this hope it withstands the test of time.
This is a great addition. When it's lit up at night, it's just awesome to see this when you come to the Maikai.
We're real proud to come here and say, oh, I did that.
Now we're going to walk back toward the street because this is a rare opportunity to walk out front and see what else is around the Maikai. Not a lot of people do that. The old building to the left is the old gift shop, and it's not in use. It's part of the historic property, so hopefully it won't be demolished. There are plans to do something else with it, but it's still looks cool. If you squint hard enough, there's a lot of fountains running, and if you turn left at US-1 and walk to the end of the property, you'll see a rare sight these days. It's the last remaining Barney West tiki on property. And this dates back to the early 60s. I'm sure that's when all the Barney West carvings were installed. And we're taking a look at it now. It's been painted over the years and repainted. It's not as in good shape as it used to be. Will, what do you think about?
You know, we have the technology. We could help them out a little bit. They've been putting these older guys together for a long time. And, you know, you just can't leave this stuff out in the rain and expect it to last forever. Barney West gave a lifetime warranty, guarantee for these things. Unfortunately, he didn't tell us whose life it was. He's dead. There's nobody.
He's not around anymore. But it's amazing that this tiki has survived all this time, since the early 60s. For you tiki nerds, there was a mug of this tiki for the 2008 Hukilau by Monk Tiki. That's a collector's item.
Now, which tikis do we have that that they're molded? Which ones?
The smaller ones are molded. These weren't molded, right?
Oh, see that face right there? That's one of the original Hydrocal molds.
Okay.
See the crack in the right side?
We're looking at the building right behind the tiki.
Yeah. That's the what happens to them in time is the metal that's in them rusts and expands and then breaks them up like that. So the ones that I've been making, I've been trying to put aluminum in and metal that's not going to rust. Okay. So maybe they'll last a little longer.
But generally the bigger tikis were not molded, right?
Just the smaller. No, this is not a molded tiki here.
Right, obviously.
And I will show you some of the biggest ones that they did mold.
Okay.
Which are really big and heavy. When you fill them with cement, you got to lay them down and roll them over and open them up, and they get pretty heavy.
Should we walk down to where the old Barney was?
Well, yeah, let's go see what's there.
So it's a nice view. If you keep walking past the bridge toward the other end of the Maikai, you can get a good view of the front of the building.
You know how that bridge rumbles? You know what that's supposed to be?
Thunder.
Thunder, yeah.
Well, when you sit in the Molokai, you hear the thunder and you see the rain coming down the windows. That's part of the design.
Now, here's a couple fern tikis right here.
Okay.
From back in the day, obviously. And
yeah.
As you can see, they're unrecognizable.
Right.
And I'm looking at this island here and I'm wondering what I'm going to be able to put here at some time.
Right.
Maybe something large, or I'm not really thinking the small cement stuff.
Right.
Because we don't want to get feet and see them walk.
We're standing looking basically to right. We're right to the right of the A-frame, looking toward the A-frame.
But I could see something going in there, some large wooden kind of thing.
Yeah. Yeah, looks great. And, of course, come out here at night as well. We're here early. The bar's about to open, so it's broad daylight. But the torches are already lit, and you'll see a whole different viewpoint at night and during the day.
I guess, as you can see, they're maintaining this thing.
Yeah.
They've emptied it, and they're waterproofing
right.
It.
All these waterways out front are part of the original water system, I believe, that ran through the main dining room.
Now, originally, this road right here, Federal Highway, was a two-lane
road. Two-lane road.
And it was made out of cement. It was white. And they made it out of cement mixed with coral, and it used to eat tires. You could barely get 10,000 miles out of tires down here. But I would venture to say that probably the two lanes were on the other side of the medium, because this used to be grass, probably about out to the medium right there. And they had other structures here.
Right.
other cement things. They had a cement mow out here. They had trees, and it was all grass. And we'd ride up on our bike and throw the bike down, and the whole garden, which came over further, was all open and accessible. Unlike now when it's all fenced in. Can't really get in now.
You can find old pictures on Swanky's website, mykaihistory.com, as well as postcards and things that show those old photos. It's still possible to get a good photo if the traffic ever dies down. If you're here during a non-busy time, I would go out onto the median and take some pictures of the front of the building. That's those classic images, as well as maybe on the other side of the street, you can get a good long view. This is the sad...
They put these uprights in there, and they're heavy steel, probably half-inch steel at least, and then they put very large screws in. And, water took its toll, and eventually it came down in the last hurricane. Maria, I guess, fell inward, not outward. The wind blew it over.
We're looking at the remains of where the old Barney West Moai stood on the southeast corner of the property. Was it about 15 feet?
Probably about 15 feet. I measured this right here, and it was an odd-shaped log. And it was probably at the most maybe 40 inches wide at the most.
But it was a sad day when we logged onto Facebook and saw the pictures of Big Barney, as he was called, had toppled over after the hurricane last September. He was an icon. Another one of those tikis that has a mug made. Tiki Diablo made a great mug of it. And we're hoping something replaces it. I think they have it in their long-term plans. I'm just not sure how quickly they're going to...
We need a log. Yeah. We need a big log. I know a guy who can carve it if you have a big log.
Well, Barney West was in California, so I guess those logs were shipped by train from California?
You know, I really don't know how they... They might have been put on a boat and brought through the Panama Canal, for all I know. Yeah. I'm sure it was the cheapest way to go at the time.
So we're going to head back toward the entrance of the Maikai now. And
want to just pause?
Yeah.
Kanui out there, when you drive by, if you know where to look, you can see his head sticking up over the fence.
Okay.
There must be a lot more structures out here. Things that look like people were living in them. And... we'd all come here on our bikes, and we'd throw them down. We'd jump inside and swim around a little bit and hope tourists would come by and throw money at us, but that never happened. Get chased out. We'd go down to the next motel and jump in the pool till we got chased out of there. But of course, that's another story.
Just pool jumping, pool hopping.
There you go. And there's Tom Fowner, world famous Tiki carver, Tom Fowner.
We want to get Tom in on this?
How's it going?
Hey, happy Friday.
We're having a podcast.
We're doing How's a podcast. Going?
I'm David. Tom.
David's nice from Texas Tiki Podcast.
Oh, okay.
We're talking about the tikis, and we're going to do a walkthrough. Would you like to elaborate about your tiki?
No. I'll leave the glory up to him.
Okay.
Anyway, I'll try to spread it around a little bit. You know.
Yeah, you know. I haven't taken any good pictures with these new paint jobs.
Lonnie's not coming. His car has a problem.
Is he doing happy hour?
Well, yeah, we could go over there. So I took about 3 months during November, December, and January, and I made 19 pieces. You know, I get these molds. It's like going to a library. And I bring back a book, and I check out another one. Well, I bring back a mold, and I check out. I took 4 molds out, and I did 3 of them. And I picked up other things that were in there, and I put 19 pieces in here in 3 months. And out of the 19 pieces, there's 9 pieces here that I put on the side wall of the valet portico as you drive in. And these are some of the latest. As we go through, I'll point out some of the other ones.
How about those ashtrays?
Well, those ashtrays I did about maybe 3 or 4 years ago. And the story behind the ashtrays is, when I first got the mold for this 10 years ago, I put these out here, and they weren't even here a month. And somebody stole one, and Kern calls me and says, "Hey, man, somebody stole the other one." Sure enough, they're both gone. And, you know, I don't want to tell you a secret, because I'd have to, you know, kill all you guys after you heard it, but these are not going to be stolen. They'd be broken before they'd be stolen, because I made sure nobody's going to pull these things up.
They're booby trapped, right?
They're booby trapped. They've got low jack in them.
All right.
And we would see, we would know if somebody came here and took these, we'd be able to track them down.
All right. Well, it's good to know they're finally safe.
And, you know, I got in a little trouble with Big Bro, with Sven. The original ones I put in here, you know, I grew up in the 70s, and that's when Day Glow Colors came out, and any tikis that were left were immediately painted with Day Glow Colors. So to me, that was tiki. And I kind of had a, what he would say was a garish paint job on here, and he called me out on it. So buried somewhere in Tiki Central is his admonishment. No, I got busy. I was telling him what I was going to bring to the party, and he said, that's what he calls tiki de-evolution. That's a classic example of tiki de-evolution. So I sharpened my pencil and I did them a little bit better, and he was happy with them, and I learned my lesson, and I stopped doing Day Glow Color tikis. That was tiki to me. That's what tikis were when I was a kid. So that's what I did.
I think they just opened the doors, so we're not going to waste any time. We're going to go right to the bar. But
we shouldn't open the door, but we might walk in.
Before you run right into the bar, I just want to encourage people to look around, look at the entrance, look at the doorway. It's a lot of detail here, a lot of nautical elements, and you know you'll see a lot of the old photos of the Maikai over the years. This is the classic entry point.
But this is, I look at this like it's relatively new.
Yeah.
It's probably 10, 15
it's been,
years old, but.
It's the early 70s remodel, right?
This? No.
Or it's been remodeled since the early 70s.
I would say 90s.
Okay.
The guy did this wall down, the whole
right.
wall.
Right.
And redid the doors.
Right.
The portholes were in them. But he did a fan. Somebody must know his name, but he did a great right. job. But this is, I feel like it's kind of yeah. new. But then I've been hanging out here right. for 50 years.
Right. Well, not literally, but.
Well, yeah, literally.
Well, when you weren't drinking here for 50.
I've been hanging out here, though, when I was 10 years old, and I'm 60 now.
The story behind the bar is there was no Molokai bar when the place first opened in 56. So the bar was inside, which we'll show you when we go inside. But the Molokai was added in 58, and it was not the Molokai we know today. It was just sort of a little, this was sort of like a line. People would line up to come in for dinner.
Surfboard bar.
Yeah, the surfboard bar was the original bar. But the Molokai bar in 58 was just this little add-on. They needed an extra bar, so they added it onto the front of of the Maikai. And Swanky talks all about it in his latest seminar, and there's a blog post on his website that's really good that talks about the history of the Molokai. The original Molokai was nothing like it is today, but we're here to look at what it is today, so let's go take a look. As soon as you enter, you're going to make the first left. Aloha.
Hi.
We're doing a recording. Nice and cool. It's a little toasty outside. You'll notice the windows with the water effects when they're turned on. They're not currently on, but they'll probably be on later. And very dark. This is the Molokai that was redesigned in the 70s, the early 70s design. And it was based on a 1800s South Seas Seaport Saloon, one of the most iconic tiki bars around. What was your first impression when you walked in here?
It's breathtaking. I mean, Like I was telling you when we first met, I just was really unsure of what to expect. I'd seen pictures, but I hadn't seen anything that really showed what the actual layout was. But it's very impressive.
It's sort of an L shape. If you walk straight back, and you can make a hard right at the very end. And I think we'll start there and just look at some of the details before it fills up with people. When they expanded the Molokai in 71, I was mentioning that they added on a lot of things, and they had to eliminate one of the old dining rooms, and the which was the dining room they replaced? Oahu. Oahu was an old dining room that didn't even have a view of the show, so they figured it was expendable. And this little area in the very back of the Molokai with three, four tables and a bunch of seats, that's the remnants of the Aloha room. The rest of the Molokai is all themed toward Mutiny on the Bounty, and the story behind that is when MGM's prop department closed, all their props from all their movies, including the early 60s Mutiny on the Bounty movie, were up for auction, and the Maikai was in the midst of doing their redesign at that point, so they took all those props from the movie, and they were all installed in the Molokai. So all the stuff has been here since the early 70s, and it's pretty authentic to the era.
So what is the deal with the tikis out here outside the window?
Will can speak to those.
Those are some of the earlier ones I made. There were no tikis out here, and some of the earlier ones I made, I'd mentioned them to Gustavo, and he said, sure, I could put them out there, and that's why they're all sitting out there. Those are all cement tikis up there in the fountain.
Well, they get a lot of water out there. So.
And ironically enough, the water windows are not working, and as we walk through, you can look through them, and you can actually see what's out there. And over the years, like all the other things that have just gotten older and deteriorated, I've pretty much replaced almost all those that are out there. You can look at them and you can kind of tell which ones I've replaced and which ones I haven't, because the ones I haven't replaced, like that one right there, is almost indistinguishable. And the shield that's next to it is nicely painted, and that's new. And as you go through, you can kind of see which ones are old and which ones are new.
Okay, so what are the molds based off of for those?
They're the actually carvings that Bob picked up in his travels through the South Seas. And the molds themselves are like a boot and a sock. If you poured cement into a sock, it would have no shape to it. If you put the sock in the boot and then you poured the cement in, it would come out looking like a foot. So the outside of the molds are made of plaster Paris, and the mold itself is a rubber skin. The rubber skin has the outer hard part, and I clamp them together, pour the cement in, take the outer part off, peel off the rubber skin, and then you have what was in it. And then I have to paint them. And I've gotten better at fixing them up and fixing the flaws in them. And then I paint them. And I'm hoping I'm getting better at after 10 years of painting them. And actually, these you can see, these are early paint jobs here. And you can see they're definite paint jobs. And the ones that I do now are more of a blend of, it looks like it's 100 years old. And you can't really...
So about how old are these?
Well, these are 10 years old,
okay.
I would say. And there's a really cute story for the one in the middle, the PNG one. When I started making these things and I became acquainted with the molds and the process, well, I guess something must have fallen over. So they told one of the maintenance guys, go down to the warehouse and pick something up, bring it back. They brought it back. They set it there and they had to paint the eyes on it because there wasn't much form to it. But you could tell it was a tiki. And I took one look at it and I realized it was the rubber skin on the outside of a wooden carving that they must have been in the middle of making the mold for. And when it was over, it was over. They never made the outside for it. So Tom and I cut the skin off and opened it up, and there was a perfectly preserved wooden carving inside. Had been in there maybe since the 70s. Since the early 70s, maybe 71, 72.
So perfectly preserved because it was in the skin the whole time.
And it was inside the warehouse.
Okay.
So I put the skin back on it, and I made, out of plaster Paris, the outside cover. Then I took that off. I took the skin off, and I've made six of those. And that's one of the six right there. There's a few more out in the garden. And... you know, I guess when the Maikai says it's tiki, it's tiki. But here is this thing sitting out there with a rubber skin on it and the eyes painted on it, and it was the mold. And I know this one guy who got married in front of it. And it's in his marriage pictures, in his wedding pictures, of the rubber mold with the eyes painted on it. And when he found out what was in it, he was beside himself.
Oh, I can imagine.
So,
missing the opportunity to get photographed in front of the real thing.
The real deal, not the rubber skin outside of the wooden carving, right?
I don't know if you guys want to order a drink while we're here. I got a Yeoman's Grog since it fits the theme.
You buying?
Sure.
All right, I'm getting a barrel of rum.
We're waiting for manager Kern Maddie to join us too.
You guys know about all the stuff in here, right?
We can walk around and do a little more look around.
Came from the mutiny on the back.
Yep. Everything was done correctly as far as the rigging and the placement of everything. They had a nautical expert come in and help with the installation. If you look at the center of the bar, directly on the top wall, there's a clock a clock timer that ships like the bounty would use.
It's to say 420. Somebody changed it.
And there's shadow boxes and installations with model ships. Those are also from Mutiny on the Bounty. And of course, the Molokai Maiden down at the very end, to the right of the big windows, is a famous. Do you know the story behind the Molokai Maiden?
No. Some of them are fiberglass.
Yeah, and it likely was a prop from the movie, and it's become famous in recent times for the Crazy Al Evans mug.
Mm-hmm. You can see here through the window the old and the new.
Yeah.
See how those have deteriorated in time, and that's one of the newer ones that I've made. There's a newer one. Look at that one over there. You can hardly even see the face on it.
You just see a nose.
You want a barrel?
Yeah, please.
Can I get a barrel too?
A barrel?
I'm a man. I'll have a barrel of rum.
Sounds like a plan.
My buddy Gary Hudson's over here. He was one of the guys that used to ride his Stingray down here. I've known him since fourth grade. And he's one of the guys I used to ride down on my Stingray.
Hey,
Gary. What's going on?
Except he didn't have a Stingray.
I did.
He had to dump his crate bike.
Yeah,
I was
out of town. I was wearing a crew cut too.
So Lonnie was wondering if we were going over to his house.
Well, I couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
That's HydroCal. That's what happens to HydroCal in time. That's one of the originals.
Have you replaced any of these or done any of the molds?
I've all the ones that you see that are not in that shape, I've made down here. And as you're looking at these, you can see which ones I made and which ones I didn't by how deteriorated they are. Classic example.
Yeah, just eyes, a nose, and a mouth left. That's it.
Yeah, look at the one in the corner there.
Yeah. The one that's just the nose. Is that one a mold as well, the maroon one in there? Because that one looks in pretty good shape.
Yeah,
looks
those
the same
are,
color. But.
Those are, no, I didn't make that paddle right there. I made that paddle. I didn't make that one. That's a piece of wood. That's HydroCal. I made that. And the next one. And the next one down there is wood.
Okay. So they've kept you busy.
You know, I've been doing these things for over 10 years. It's amazing.
Well, let's go catch up with Jim and see where we're going to next.
All right. We're back in the Molokai. We're wandering around. We're back by the front entrance. Few other things to just look around before you leave the bar or have a few happy hour drinks is the furniture. These great chairs that were designed by Al Kokab that have been at the Maikai since the early days. Same with the lamps, the famous table lamps designed by Al. And as you go through the dining rooms, check out the lamps. They're all different in each dining room. They're themed to each room. And of course, everyone signs the shades.
Will's going to join us. We're going to walk through the dining rooms. Now, as you go out to the lobby and make a left, you'll see some more Mutiny on the Bounty remnants. There's a display case that has quite a few huge model ship, some old rum bottles. And how did that sneak in there? There's a Crazy Al mug in there. Anyway, this is, of course, dead giveaway. It says HMS Bounty. Now we're in the lobby by the Maitre D' stand.
Want to see where the cigarette machines used to
be? Oh, yeah. We can take a quick walk. Everyone needs to know where the bathrooms are. There's two entrances to the men's and ladies, one on each side. We're going down the left side. And here's Kern Matty.
Here's where the cigarette machines used to be. It used to be a smoke shop sitting in here. Here's where the display was. That delivery tray down here. This is important.
It's history.
Is your history, yes.
This is my history, and this is why I am here. Look, I'm so glad she put that in there. That's a real deal. Wood back in the day, roof finial. What kind of roof finial is that?
Is that Mutiny or East Island?
No.
That's the shadow box. It's right in the very back by the office. Should we take a quick look at the gift shop while we're here?
Well, sure.
Gift shop's important.
I just want to mention that I happen to have
it's not open yet, though,
a couple of the cherished cement molds in here.
I'll get the key. We can go
okay. In. Yeah. The gift shop actually used to be a dining room. It was the Bangkok room. And that's why it has a certain decor, as you see when you go in there and look up. Amazing decor. And the ladies' room has that same decor that follows the Bangkok room into the ladies' room. And the Molokai nautical decor follows through into the men's room. all this theming and all this decor from the 70 remodel was courtesy of two great designers, Florian Gabriel and George Nakashima. They designed the 1971 expansion. So what you're basically looking at in the Maikai today is the 1971 remodel. Yes. There's been no major remodels other than what Will was talking about, just refreshing of the exteriors and things.
These are two cement examples, and they are New Caledonian roof finials. This one we suspect was done by Barney West, and that one, we don't know who did that one.
And they're not for sale.
Yes, they are for sale.
Okay.
Absolutely, they are.
The cement ones are for sale, yeah. Okay.
Those two, I've been making an extra one lately, and I guess it's a little known fact because they're still sitting here. I don't know why they're still sitting here, but they are. And there's actually a paddle back there. Kind of looks like decorum. Might be why it hadn't sold. Should have a price tag hanging.
Now, people listening know when you come, look for these things. They're for
sale. Absolutely. The concrete tikis are for sale.
I wouldn't say everything in the gift shop is for sale, but most of it is. Just ask.
And yeah.
It's another Barney West.
There were out tiki of, or paddle or
it's a mat. just like that one. No, it's statue. A full freestanding 360. Barney West, we think, did about 4 or 5 small ones that I've done over the years, and we think that one's it. I got another one, and I show you the ones outside that we think are Barney West.
Right.
Sven kind of put the puzzle together for that.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
5 Maikai mugs are available for sale in the gift shop. We got our brand new Maikai t-shirts that we got in with our 3 cannibal tikis, and when we get them in, we have the rum reggae Maikai inspired tapas style aloha shirts.
Nice. All right, let's check out the dining room.
So we're leaving the gift shop and making an immediate right and walking up into what's the Tonga dining room. It's the very back of the main dining room. It's a showroom, and it offers the greatest view of the entire showroom. If you stand in the very back of Tonga and look toward the stage, you get that sweeping view of the A-frame, all the lights up there. It's just an awesome view. And it's one of many, many great areas to have dinner, of course. Kern's going to join us now. Now, this room wasn't always here. This was added. This wasn't one of the original dining rooms. It was added later. The Tonga.
The Tonga room, yes. In the beginning, this was where the area was, the surfboard bar
surfboard
was.
Surfboard bar was like right around there to the back of the building, I would assume, because the drinks came out of the service bar, right?
Exactly.
And this black velvet up here was part of the surfboard bar. If you look at the very back wall, you'll see an Askew black velvet. They're all around the building. There were a lot of black velvets in the original Molokai, according to Swanky, and he has some photos. It's very interesting, the original Molokai before the theming was added in 71.
Yeah.
So let's walk toward, I guess, down toward the stage and take a look at the main garden.
Well, why don't you elaborate a little bit?
Yeah, as you walk through all the poles in Tonga and throughout New Guinea, Hawaii, and our Tahiti room, were all made in California by the South Seas Arts. It's at
Oceanic Arts.
That's Bob and Leroy. They carved all the poles that are used to hold up the whole restaurant, and they have never been here to see the work that they did. So they carved them all in California, all shipped out here, put up. Some in 1956, when we opened, the rest in 1970, and they've seen pictures but never been here in person.
There's a lot of decor in here from them, not just the poles, right?
Oh, yes. There, you see their influence throughout the whole restaurant.
So are the jade tiles original, or are those reproductions?
They would have to be original. They're from from the 50s and some from the 1970 remodel.
Okay.
Yeah, they're all vintage.
Nice.
Walking towards the stage, we're going to hang a left. And we have New Guinea, which is one of the older dining rooms. It wasn't originally New Guinea. This was Tahiti in the early days. And they renamed it New Guinea.
Same thing.
And as you walk into each room, if you look on the tables, each of the tiki lamps in each of the rooms is designed after that island. So as I'm holding this tiki lamp, this is a design from New Guinea, typical sculpture you'll find coming from that island. And it's the same for every room. You go in each room, and that tiki lamp will match the decor of that room. And also the entrance, as you're going into the room, this is the typical palm leaf style and decor style that they use in New Guinea. So as you're walking into the New Guinea room, we try to keep the authenticity there and actually bring you into the actual island.
Nice. This New Guinea room is a showroom. You'll be seated if you book the dinner show, right?
Yes, yes.
And just to the side of New Guinea is the main area of the dining room. That's called the garden. And it's called the garden, which is interesting, is because it used to be outdoors. The whole interior corridor of the Maikai was open air when they first built the Maikai. And Swanky talks about this in his book and his presentations. It's very fascinating how they glassed in the dining rooms on either side. So you had air-conditioned dining rooms, and then you had the main garden area, which was outdoors. And streams running through either side of the garden had streams that kind of empty out into the front of the building, which the waterways still exist throughout.
Let's go. Where you want to go now? The Hawaii room?
Sounds good.
You know, I saw these two carvings, this one and that one, where they used to be.
Where's that?
I'm not sure if I remember. I guess it was out there.
Don't forget the felt. Did you point the felt?
We got that.
Okay.
I think they were like in the entrance.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
wow. They were side by side.
That's you, the Sun Hawaii room. And same here. We have the tiki lamps in this room come from the island of Hawaii. Those are the kind of carvings you'll see there. And also the front entrance. So the way they use their palm fronds is typical Hawaiian style. So that brings you right into the Hawaiian Islands as you walk into the Hawaii room.
The Hawaii room is one of the other older dining rooms that come from the 1956 original structure. And it was that other room that was air-conditioned and gave you a little bit of relief from the weather. If you look up, you can see the A-frame, and it's now obviously all glassed in, but it was screening up there to keep the birds out and all the lush greenery. All the lights are LED now.
Yes.
And they glow really.
I saw an old article that said something like there's 1,700 lights up just in this main room alone.
I would say the whole restaurant, 1,700.
1,700 for the whole restaurant.
Yes. This room, you could probably count them. Yes, definitely. Yeah, we switched, I think, 2 years ago, took all the halogen bulbs out, put all LED, saved on labor because you only have to change it once every 10 years. We'll find out for sure. And then the electricity usage just definitely helps out because we have nearly 2,000 bulbs. So that's a lot of electricity.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of labor to change, especially those high ones.
Should we go that way or that way?
Let's go this way to Morea.
We're continuing to walk down the corridor toward the back of the Maikai, and we have the Morea room.
And as you come into the Morea room, there's a lot of hand-carved designs, wood paneling on the upper corner, and a canoe similar to the one that Bobby Murray paddled when they got married in Morea. So that's why we keep that canoe here in the Morea room. Mm-hmm. Reminds them of their wedding and honeymoon.
Is this a showroom too?
Yeah, this is a showroom also. It's our last room that we use to seat on a nightly basis. So when we are sold out, we definitely will fill up Morea. All right, let's go back to our non-show dining rooms. Yeah, you can come back into the back area here. If you don't want to see the show, you can have a nice, comfortable dinner in our Tahiti or Samoa rooms or during season outside in Lanai. You can hear our background music. This is our Tahiti room. And Bob Thornton married Mireille. She comes from Tahiti. So we had a velvet picture designed with her picture, and we keep that in the Tahiti room. And she's also got a second picture, a chalk picture of her, also reminiscent of her Tahitian background.
Now, this is the room that was added during the 71 remodeling. And
yes, yes. And it's...
This used to be garden back in the day.
Yeah, let's go to our Samoa room.
I love the ceiling on this room too.
Yeah, this is our Samoa room. And now in here, you'll find a couple artifacts from Samoa. We have our Samoan fire knives. That's part of our show. So we have some vintage knives on the back wall. Also in a couple of our rooms, we have some old turtle shells. And we got those when we opened in the 50s. And they've made it illegal to import and export turtle shells now. So we're grandfathered in, so we're able to display those and keep those as part of our decor. But you can't find those anywhere. And our famous display cases here featuring our shrunken heads that we also received before we opened. Bob and Jack were big collectors, and they wanted so many original and neat artifacts, so they added those. Back in the day, they came from the island of New Hebrides. And New Hebrides is now changed to Vanuatu, and we have three different shrunken skulls. One is a trophy skull, which would be of an enemy, and we have two that are decorated a little more nicer, and those are ancestor skulls. And people often ask if that's a real shrunken head or not, and I always tell them yes and explain the process. The process to make a shrunken head, you guys all know how to make one.
No.
Once you chop the head off, they will take the back of the skull and cut the skin, peel the skin off of the skull, then sew it back together without the bone, and then smoke it, and the skin will shrink, and thus you have a shrunken head. So if you take the bone out, it'll shrink, and that's what you have here, a real shrunken skull. Exactly. Sometimes 18 hours, yes. And we keep this in our Samoa room. Not a lot of people get to see this, but for those who know and want to come see it, it's kept nice behind the nice display case.
And even if you're not seated specifically back here, you can wander around and
take a look.
Yeah, yes. See all the artifacts yourself.
A lot of people come here and ask just to see the shrunken heads, and they're like, yep, we know where to take you.
And I'm told this room is sort of the best example of the old Maikai. It's pretty much untouched. It hasn't been changed a lot over the years.
I heard that one is a guy that didn't pay his bar tab.
Hey, there you go.
Yes.
So don't walk your tab. You will become part of the display.
And you can also see the huge beams that hold up the A-frame. This was part of the original structure.
It could.
Yes.
I noticed that in a lot of the weapons, including that piece there, the iron is employed. I'm surprised to see so much metal in a Polynesian kind of setting. Some of the works on the other wall there, some of the, you know, the
yes,
spheres,
yes.
A lot
that would
of metal.
Be after, you know, the people have settled in there. Westerners
yeah.
brought all the metals with them, and that's how
the
they created the fire knives.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Definitely. All right, where to next?
Let's do walk the garden, right?
Yes, that's where our specialist takes
Will's over. Will's going to take us out in the tiki garden. Well, we do have some dinner seating out here as well. Lanai, Kern can probably speak to that a little bit.
Yeah, during season, when the temperature in the 70s, you can sit out here and have a dinner and stay out here for hours. Right now, it's about 88, almost 90 degrees. So if you don't mind the weather, some people don't. Just sit out here with the waterfalls. The water keeps a little bit cooler with a nice breeze. But it's beautiful out here. Once the sun goes down, we drop into the low to mid 80s. So if you don't mind that, it's one of the best places to have an outside dinner in Florida.
Do you have like a landscaper on staff that handles all the...
Yeah, we got a full gardening crew. They'll come through here every day and prune things. And we have leaves that fall down. They get to sweep the leaves every day just to get ready to open. Oh yeah, full-time gardening crew.
That tiki on the tree is the first one I ever had here in the garden.
The first one? It wasn't the
I had it in
suffering bastard.
You guys bought it yourselves.
It was a suffering bastard.
That came after.
Came after. Wow.
As you come out, you can see the windows into the Chinese ovens to your right. That's a great view. I was going to ask Kern about those ovens. I've heard there's only three in the country.
Nice.
Well, I'd like to mention something. If you'll notice, there's 24 pole swords guarding the Chinese oven. And when I first started going through all the molds and going down to the warehouse, and there were just little chunks of cement with a rusty wire sticking out, and then I found the mold for the swords. And I replenished 24 pole swords around the Chinese oven.
So it sounds like they had a pretty good forethought that, you know, these things aren't going to last. So they started making molds of what they already had.
Brilliant. It was a brilliant idea on their part.
How many ovens are there besides yours? Just a couple, right?
Just a few, especially the brick ovens. There's Dino Trader Vic's uses stainless steel Chinese ovens, but ours are the true brick ovens, which is a different technique, different flavor, and everything's totally different. It's like the pizza brick ovens. Mm-hmm. You know, it's a different style of cooking.
And again, those date back to like late 60s, early 70s, I believe, when it was added on?
Early 60s.
Early 60s,
yeah,
that's right.
56, we opened just the woks, and early 60s we had
the kitchen
Chinese
was expanded,
oven. Yeah.
Kern, do we know what that Chinese says up there? Chinese writing?
No, we don't know, but I'm sure we get somebody.
Somebody somewhere
that.
Knows.
You know,
yeah.
Before you lose your older Chinese cooks in there, you ought to get them come out here. And yeah, there's four. there's four symbols up there, and they're repeated after each other.
Maybe pay your tab?
Or you end up in the display case with the rest of the shrunken heads. These are Chinese pulsars, by the way.
Okay. So, and I guess that's fitting with the Chinese ovens, that you want to have that
just
blend.
Opened up as a Chinese restaurant, right?
Yep, we could do that.
So, it would fall in line.
Is this the suffering bastard you were talking about?
No, you know, it's funny. I made one, and I put it in the gift store, and it was gone. I was so pleased. Who would have bought it? Well, they bought it, and they put it in their own garden. And then it was here, and that was probably 15 years ago, and it sat out, and it disintegrated, and then somebody else came up with one after it fell off by the roadside.
Yeah, wheels disintegrated, and the birds of the Rum Renaissance Festival, they missed it so much. That was one of their favorite tikis. They came in one night and said, we have a present for you guys. And they hauled it in and said, we are going to replace the Suffering Bastard tiki because we miss it so much. So that was their gift to us from...
That looks great. It's better than mine was.
We put it in a different place, and this has been his permanent home ever since.
Well, here's some masks where you can see a new and an old.
There you go. That's a classic example. That's wood. And, of course, the rest of these are all cement, and I made them.
So do you feel like...
that guy down there.
So do you feel like you can see which ones were some of your first ones to ones that you're doing now? Can you see a difference?
Oh, yeah. I think I feel like I'm a lot better at them now. I'm better, more, both making them and painting them. That one right there, that has a world-famous paint job on it. Is that right?
That's right.
And who did that?
I did.
He did. Kern did that.
Nice. We're in the south corner of the southwest corner of the garden.
So where was your inspiration for painting this?
I did a lot of research online, trying to get different, making sure I got the right island, the right paint style, and trying to make it as authentic as possible.
Absolutely.
Oh, yes.
It looks great.
Thank you, thank you.
I'd like this display of these three right here.
Yeah, these rocks are really something. And I every time I get to hear some of the story of how this, that's what, the third waterfall that Bob built in here, is that right?
Yeah.
See what? I'm never happy with it, but you know, these rocks, they all look like rocks, but they're not. Take, for example, this guy right here. Isn't that a beautiful rock?
Yep.
That's not a rock at all. You flip it over, it's hollow. You see the holes in there?
Yeah.
I had put a cement club down there, and I screwed it to it, figuring, boy, everybody's going to want to just pick it up and walk out with it. Well, the coconuts fell out of the tree, and they broke it three times. So I quit doing that. But I thought that was so clever. These are what I call tombstones. And there are a ton of them here. This is where one of the Hydrocal original tikis were. It might have been any one of these freestanding tikis. And the tiki, they'd bring it in, dig a hole, pour cement in, stuff it down there. And then the tiki dies. And there's the cement that held it in. I call them tombstones. They're all over the place here. I don't know. They kind of remind me of how many were in here and the history of all the stuff in here. And, you know, it's so funny that everything here is a matter of evolution. To give you an example, the King Kai over there, I built the base for him. And it just looked so modular, I couldn't stand it. And I walked around and I started picking up some of these tombstones, because they have on the top, they're just the top, but when you dig them up, they have an organic look to them, because it was a hole with cement put in it. So I started turning them upside down, and when you look at King Kai, you'll see that that's how I got it to look earthly and organic, was by picking up all the tombstones, some of the tombstones around here, and putting them on there, and then plastering them in, you know, as I have spent more time here in the garden, I've learned how things are in evolution. Things are built on top of things. There have probably been so many changes in this garden. I don't know who would ever be able to record them all or even know them all, but for people that have been here for a long time, you know, you have your memory to go on. And you know, being here during the day is a lot different. Most of my career here, I've been servicing the sugar machines, and I was the only one in here. when I started hanging out here and there were actually people here, I thought it was rather strange. What are all these people doing here? This is really weird. So I've spent more time here literally by myself, and even still now. I'm a behind-the-scenes kind of guy. I'm here during the day. I'm digging holes. I'm putting stuff up. I'm erecting things and pouring cement. And then I leave. And by being able to go around here when nobody's here and nobody's watching me and I don't have to worry about people being here, I've seen things here that people don't really notice. I know you have.
How many of your molds are out here? Have you lost count?
I figure I've done about 200, believe it or not, I've done about 200 cement pieces here, because I make three of them for these guys and I make one for me. And I can walk around my house and I can easily see 50 of them. And when it came to the pole saws, I did 24 of them. So I would say I'm probably coming up on 200 pieces I've made here. Doesn't seem like it.
The cement ones also break, so we also have to replace those.
And replaced them.
Let's go look at King Kai, because that was your first big wooden tiki. If you continue walking the path through the garden, you'll come across two big tikis. Both are wills. He can explain why there's a styrofoam tiki here, and also a wooden tiki as well.
Well, that was the first big tiki I did for him, and I did that one probably about 13, 14 years ago.
Yeah, at least.
And, you know, there's an old dilemma of putting wooden tikis outside and they go away. Everybody comes to me and says, geez, I'd like to put that thing by my pool. And I tell them, well, sure, go ahead. A year from now, I'll carve you another one after it disintegrates, which is the same reason why Bob went ahead and casted all these. So I'm thinking, well, how can I make something that's going to stand the test of time? And I found out about architectural foam. Many buildings like Publix and things like that, they look so ornate, but they're really only styrofoam. So I went down, there's a local company, and I went down and I found out that I can get a piece of that 40 inches by 48 by 8 foot. I said, I'll take one. And I came to Kern, I said, what should I carve? He says, I don't know, carve something really cool. So I thought about it and I labored over it and I wondered, what can I possibly carve that won't offend the Maikai? They'll really like it. And I was sitting there and I was looking at a mug. I don't even know how long I've had that mug or how it ever came into my grandmother's house. Somebody came here, had a drink, and they got to take the mug home. Is that what
That's the one.
So here I've got a pencil holder with that mug in it, And I'm thinking, wow, look at that. It's just about the shape of the thing, the foam. And how could they be offended? It's their mug. So I had them take a CNC machine and cut it into an oval, and then I went ahead and carved the mug. But man, that stuff was all over my neighborhood for a week before it all blew away. And I put it in the back of my truck and brought it in and said, look what I've got.
There was a big wooden tiki there before, right? That kind of fell.
You know, again, there is so much repurposed stuff here. There was that then, and then the next thing was where the Suffering Bastard was
Suffering Bastard.
So, you know,
this guy should be there for a while.
Yeah, he's going to outlast us.
How heavy is it, and how long do you think that should last?
Well, that right there is really heavy. It's probably at least 10 pounds.
Okay. As opposed to King Kai.
And it'll be here long after we are. Kai, on the other hand, that was, at the time, the biggest one I ever carved. You know, I met this guy named Lonnie. Lonnie delivers heavy equipment, lift equipment, and he has a semi. He can cart things around. He has a buddy who's a tree guy, and he happened to have two trees that he was going to cut in half and make a bench out of. But he didn't have a big enough chainsaw, so he tried to figure out how to get rid of them. And Lonnie says, I'll bring them over to you. You can carve them, and I can deliver them. So, sure enough, Christy White had the idea of carving this and introduced me to Lonnie, and that's how all that came together. And this was the biggest log, because I can't move that by myself. It's probably about 6,000 pounds. And so Lonnie brought it to my house, and I made a form for it. I rolled it back and forth. I made it. He picked it back up, brought it here. And this is the base I was just talking about. I made this out of cement block big square blocks, and after it was done, it was just big and square. So I started getting all these tombstones that are all around here and chunks of cement, and here's another tombstone, and here's another place that things were. And I started picking these things up and bringing them over and setting them up here and cementing them in and pouring cement over it till it looked organic. And this thing is made from our own house, from all the our own byproduct.
So, but, of course, King Kai replaced a big Barney West that was here for decades and sadly fell over and crashed through the fence, I believe.
You know what? I was the first one that saw that it had fallen down. I would come here when I was doing the cigarette machines and I was starting to carve, because that was 15 years ago that fell down. Right. And I would be the only one here, and I'd come out and I could walk around and look at all this stuff and get ideas. And so this is what tikis are supposed to look like. And I came out here one day, and here's the things laying out here. And I drove around to the parking lot, and there everything had fallen out of his head into the parking lot next door. And fortunately, there weren't any cars back there. And I came back later that day, and they were standing on top of it with chainsaws cutting it into pieces.
I remember that day you installed King Kai. It was quite an ordeal with the lift bringing
it. Yeah, you were here. Yeah. That's right. Yeah, that was Lonnie helping me move this in. So then there was a tiki that was in the surf bar, I believe it was.
Yes, yes.
And it was actually made with probably 6x6s and kind of artfully put together, then carved. It was never meant to be outside. But it was pretty big. It was probably 10 foot tall, maybe. And they put it out here and they bolted it down. And that lived out here for almost 10 years. It was beginning to disintegrate. And we could see that happening. And we thought we could actually save it, maybe safe. Use it. Well, it fell apart on the way.
Yeah. It's
but nevertheless, we could save it. So then, you know, that's where we decided to put this thing. And that's how this is. And this, the third repurpose, again, history repeated itself. It repeated itself. 60 years we're here. Not we.
Yeah,
you're not here 60
for,
years. But
50 years.
This might outlive you if you're lucky.
So, or you know, that's how everything here has been repurposed and repurposed and repurposed.
Right here where we're standing in front of King Kai is where the big Barney West fell during the hurricane. The Easter Island Barney West landed right in front of King Kai. And he also kind of disintegrated. What hurricane was that? Remember last
Maria.
Year?
No.
After that one.
After Maria?
What was it Maria? Hurricane Irma. I should know that.
Well, in any event, this guy right here, this Tangaroa, I put him here so he could be a seat for people. I don't know if anybody ever sits on him or not. This guy right here, are you ready for this? Do you recognize him?
Do not.
It's him.
Okay.
Believe it or not.
It's the Tangaroa. Okay. You can see the mouth and the eyes.
The feet probably fell off or broke, and then they buried them in the ground, which is another example of repurposing here.
Yeah.
Almost everything here has been repurposed at one time or another. And this looks like a great planter. It's actually one of the rocks I was telling you upside down. It's not a rock.
So Will, this Hiroa Nui?
Hiroa Nui. Got to say it like a man. Okay. Hiroa Nui. That's our latest big wooden tiki. And there's another example of being repurposed. Now, again, I built this pedestal for this tiki. So what was here, we had one of these guys. Now, I told you a story about him. That's the one with the rubber suit. Okay, that's one of the six. There's one there, there's one there, there's one out in a fountain. So this right here is what was here originally. And if you look down here, you'll see it's there were three stones and one put on top. And originally, I'm guessing it was probably a light and it was probably a gas fire torch of some sort. Because you can see right there, see the line for the for the gas? And so when I took this off and I started to chip away to find out what I could build on, I could see where the gas came in and the electric came in, and there was another guy, there was another Barney West standing here, used to stand here, and the other thing that I found, it was a Barney West who was standing someplace else because he fell over at the ankles, and then they brought him here and they poured cement and they stuck him in it. Because when he fell over and then they put him on, the holes were there from his legs. So first, this used to be a light stand and probably a gas light. Then they had Barney West here. Then they've had him here. And then I built this into the pedestal you see today, holding Hiranui! Hiranui!
And of course, this is the photo op. This is the tiki you see with the sign behind you, and it's the perfect photo op.
Because Dave came out and he said, "Oh man, you pointed that thing the wrong way. He was supposed to point that way." And I said, "But wait, look at this." And he went, "Okay."
Yep, that's the perfect photo op. That's the same picture we took last night
while we were here. Oh yeah.
So did you talk about the history of the design of this?
Well, Hiranui. My first idea, actually it came from one of these cement guys. I looked at it and I said, "Oh, that's really cool. I'll make one just like him." And also that same guy was one that Mirei took her famous picture of hanging on the side.
The Tahitian style, right?
Yes.
It's a famous photo. Yeah.
And we have a smaller version of this tiki in our Samoa room.
Yes, we do.
Yes.
That was when I first looked at, and then I saw Mirei on it. And, you know, I asked Mirei, and she told me that she would take another picture with that. A new updated today picture with that.
Oh, that'd be fantastic.
Maybe you could mention something. I don't see her very often. But maybe you could remind her.
I will. I
of
definitely
this
will.
Conversation. I'd love to see that. That would be a gas.
That would be awesome.
Seeing Mirei, because she looks great today. I'm sure if she put the same outfit on, it would probably fit, and she would look just as good today in that same outfit. Maybe with your mom.
Well,
on the other
out.
Side.
Absolutely. Yeah, we'll definitely talk about it for sure.
Was your mom a calendar girl?
Yes. A couple years good.
There's a lot of lineage here.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah.
Do you know who used to be the manager here?
His father.
That's right. You know what his name was?
I do not.
Kern Matty.
Okay.
Same name,
all
yes.
Right. So next generation.
So I like the way how you've opened up the middle. Now you can walk through the middle of the garden, which wasn't
that's
always
possible.
Yeah,
just during summer.
When it gets too hot to eat out in the middle of the gardens, we take all the tables out. You can walk around, take more pictures. And, when season is here, the temperatures drop down. We put the tables back, and because so many people want to sit in the middle of the gardens and have dinner.
It's a perfect spot.
Oh, yeah.
Let's keep walking around the perimeter.
Get a pot for everyone.
Everyone what?
Every photo is taken in front of my tiki.
Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
To retire.
I could. I wouldn't be a starving artist. These guys I made, I'm sure something used to be here. What used to be here? I'll bet something used to be here.
I've seen probably some more Barney West.
From the 80s, it looks exact same tikis were here.
Are these yours?
I made them,
but,
yeah.
But from a same mold, though, right?
That's a yes. Barney West right there. Yeah.
If, these are from... My kids were little then.
These are Alba...
About 15 years ago.
Albin, Albalini.
The local farm group came and painted them after they were installed.
That was my original, the way... Well, I painted them day glow colors.
Right,
I don't know
right,
what was wrong
right.
with that.
Well, that's why we had the tiki painting party.
But, you know, the classic example of, again, repurposing. Something used to be here, and now it's changed.
No, that looks great.
I'd like to talk to Dave and get those rocks that are out back put in here, in this area, so I could begin to put stuff in.
Oh, yes.
David asked me if I could do stuff with this area. And, you know...
Visible from the street, too.
That's my thought.
And over here, towards the end of our Tahiti room, we have... one of our two remaining Barney West tikis in the gardens. This one has been covered with cement to preserve its future and painted over, but the base and the style is Barney West, but definitely we helped him out. And the last one of our Barney West, this one's about, what, 5 feet tall? We have one more around the corner here, being held up by some wires, and he's just only got a little bit of life left in him. So
totally
he's due for
that.
A repair or update this year,
yeah.
For sure.
Any plans for repairing the one that's out in the front on the side?
He was updated two or three years ago.
2 years ago, started to get some more rot.
You know, here's a classic example of what the HydroCal things look like now. They last so long, and there you go. He's up there. He's a little out of the rain. Nobody touches him.
So he's done fairly well.
He's still here, and there's something to be said for that.
So if you're looking for those Barney West, the first one Kern was talking about is facing the lanai toward the Tahiti room, and then if you take the path toward the middle of the garden and look to the left before the bridge, you'll see the old wooden Barney.
Where the one with the skin on him was where the guy got married in front of it. Yeah. But that's one of about as big as the cement ones get right there. But there's a classic example of the ones we just saw with the over on the other side with the round face. That's him. Believe it or not, that's him.
That's what happens.
And that's where they go, and that's what happens to him.
I can see your work is never ending.
The orchids, you know, there's a guy who's a waiter here that my work, yeah. There's a waiter here that is an orchid guy, and he has orchids. His name is Gus, and he has orchids all over this place. It's like his personal orchid house.
Nice. So now we're going to walk around the back. Actually, it's the front of the Maikai, but it's the back of the garden. There's a path that runs along the front of the restaurant. Some people skip this. They don't know you can go back here and enter into the inside through this way. It's a great, great place to get away, a little quiet, secluded. You get windows into Tahiti and Samoa, and the secret doorway into the back of the indoor tiki garden. Here you can really see these waterways that originally were installed in the very early days that run from the very front of the building under the A-frame. They actually, you can see them go underneath the Samoa room.
Now back here behind our gardens, we have two pieces that are authentic pieces from New Guinea, and these were purchased as actual religious pieces, so which are more rare and hard to find, as opposed to tourist pieces that are made to sell. Our big giant tiki here is the New Guinea ceremonial piece, as well as this one, also a New Guinea ceremonial piece. So those are very rare tikis, a lot of people don't know. And housed in between of those is our basement kahuna tiki. You gifted to us by Dave Wolf, also known as Basement Kahuna.
Nice. The first rare tiki is the first one you see on your immediate right. And then you see Basement Kahunas, and then the big guy in the middle. And as you walk through the walkway, you can see into the windows that view into the Molokai, where we started our tour.
And as you pass a couple bridges, you'll see the backstage of the stage. Backstage where the dancers prepare.
Jeff Chouinard, right? Surf Soul Tiki back here.
Two of them he has in here.
Where's the other one?
Outside.
Oh, the front. That's right.
This one has a story, right? This was a mug right behind the stage to the immediate left. Is a tiki that was out in the garden at some point, because there's pictures I've seen of it out in the garden.
And it was made as a hukilau mug a few years ago by, what's that, Tiki Diablo? Or Ugamuga.
Nice. So you also get a view of the back of the A-frame, see the stage, the dining room. It's a nice secluded spot.
This is another great view. Yeah, I love this view of the stage. The dancers warm up, and this is where they go on stage.
Girls' dressing room is actually underneath the stage. So when they go down the stairs during the show, they'll make an immediate left, go down another set of stairs. So they're actually changing underneath the stage. And the boys' dressing room is, as you go down the back stairs, is right behind the stage. So they have separate dressing rooms. And it's been like that since the original show was right in the middle of the gardens on the floor. When the show became a big success, they actually built the stage. So the stage, the show would be a feature presentation. You come here, have dinner in the show, and it's turned into an actual dinner theater. And it's been here ever since, and all hand-carved in the front.
Or 62?
Early 60s. I know that for sure. The actual date, I'm not sure. But if you check the front of the stage, all hand-carved designs, it's just very beautiful design.
Every so often when the show is going on, you won't be able to access this part of the restaurant, but check back later. You can always do a walkthrough when it's either early or late. Now we're back in the main showroom. Kern, is there anything else we want to point out about the showroom?
We covered the two velvet paintings here.
No, we haven't.
We spoke about the velvets in general.
Yeah, just to the south of the stage, there's two topless velvet paintings, and they were put here in the expansion in 1970. And throughout the years, they've been retouched, I think, twice. There's so many people would come over here and want to touch the velvet and feel it. And, so now we have them behind the glass coverage, so You can still touch it, but you won't ruin the velvet. So here they lie, heavily protected.
Well, is there anything else special? I think we covered
everything
it all.
Special.
Well, but anything that you would recommend people keep an eye out besides what we've gone over, or what's accessible to people?
I'd say just look around, and every time you come, you'll see something new that you never saw before. It's an amazing place.
Yeah, I have different people come and take pictures and look at this, and they'll ask me questions about, you know, what about this tiki, and I'll always see different angles. I'm like, wow, I've never seen that angle before, or sometimes I don't remember even seeing that tiki before. Tell me where I took that picture, because it's just wall to wall, from ceiling to floor. They spared no expense in trying to create the ultimate tiki house.
That still happens to me. I come here and I see things I've never seen here before. I wouldn't even think so. I wouldn't think it was possible, but I do. Crazy.
Exactly.
Well, gents, thanks for showing us around. Thanks for letting us take a peek. Jim, Kern, and Will, appreciate your time. I think it's time for a drink.
Aloha.
All right. That's a really good bar.
Aloha. So, there it was, the Maikai episode of Marooned. What more can I say about the Maikai that hasn't already been said by countless others? It's Tiki Mecca. If you're into Tiki and you haven't been out there yet, I strongly encourage you to make a trip out there as soon as possible. You won't be disappointed. Believe me, there's a reason I put it in my top 5 Tiki bars in the US article in issue 2 of Downbeat Drag magazine. If you want to find out what the other 4 are, go pick up a copy of issue 2. As always, thanks again for sticking around for another episode of Marooned. And thank you so much for coming along with us on this history lesson of the Maikai. Unfortunately, Jen and I won't be attending Hukilau due to some other travel plans we have arranged. But if you're attending Hukilau, I'd love to hear about it. And I'd really love to hear about it if you took the podcast along with you for a tour of the grounds. So go ahead and tag us on your social media if you took us with you. If you'd like to keep up to date with the podcast, you want to talk about the podcast or learn more about the podcast, come and join the Maroon Facebook group. If you'd like to keep up to date with us and our Tiki travels, give me a follow on Instagram, at @DavidFantomatic. You'll definitely see what we have in store for this summer. And if you like this episode or any of the past episodes, a review on Apple Podcasts is a great way to let me know. Once again, thanks so much for listening, and thanks to my guests, Will, Kern, and Jim. So until next time, Akole Maluna, y'all.